Well, we have a few minutes for questions or comments from the audience. Any takers, sir? And perhaps if you want to direct them at one or another of the speakers, I find you stay at the top.
In what? Is there any chance that something good could come out of this, in that public opinion would be increasingly in favor of Microsoft and the government, and you'd have no more of these cases brought in 20 years?
Well, I think if you adopted my my rule that the price that consumers have to pay for the operating system is essentially the price that is being paid for Sun's operating system, that there'd be enough of an outcry that that might happen. The reality is that these things tend to move slowly. The consumers have a hard time knowing exactly what's happening. I don't know that they'd be so outraged that that they would sort of march on Washington and sort of try to destroy the Justice Department or anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually interested that this issue has risen to the level of being a presidential debate question in one of the recent presidential debates. I've heard conflicting evidence on what public opinion is. I see some polls that say Microsoft is very unpopular, some polls that say the government is unpopular in this, so I don't really know that.
Microsoft
is unpopular
with me. I think it's more than just a hassle if you're saying to get removed from those things from the computer. But isn't Judge Posner, he's pretty well-respected economic judge, isn't he likely, his opinion likely that we're selling the case one way or another?
Question.
The question is whether or not appointing Judge Posner as the arbitrator in the settlement talks between the two parties is likely to bring about a settlement.
I mean, I claim no inside information, but the people, whenever I talk to people who may be slightly closer to it than I am, they say they think the parties are pretty far apart, so I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sorry. One of the things I don't understand is exactly how much discretion or power Judge Posner has in terms of when he spoke when he took the position, was he actually given any sort of impact on the case? And I don't know, because just being there as an arbitrator, I don't know what he can make them do. I think if he had some power over them, they're likely to come to a solution. Certainly if the person who wins is the one who's smartest, he'll win. But offhand, I don't know what that does to the chances of a settlement.
On this side, sir.
Mr. Leonard, you said, I believe, that Microsoft took active measures to prevent specific innovations from occurring. Which ones did you have in mind? Repeat the question, please.
Well, I mean, for example, the innovation, Intel was developing software to give directly to the OEMs and put directly in the chips. That's one. And I think there's lots of, this whole effect of on innovation is very hard to quantify. There's lots of, if you have a market that is so, influenced by one firm and potentially distorted by one firm, it's obviously hard to quantify the lack of innovation. I think it's reasonable to assume that that if you had more competition, you'd have more. If your customers had leverage, that you would have more innovation, because that's the basic logic of competitive markets.
Can I say?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That one particular case is a bit ironic, because if you think about it, what Intel was thinking about doing is exactly what Microsoft was doing in a way. It was adding in functionality to its chip that was going to eliminate the need for some other producers of some other chips. So in a way, it was like adding something to its operating system that was going to put a competitor sort of out of business, in this case, people who are making DSP chips, which they were adding the functionality in. Now, it's unclear to me exactly what the reason was that Intel stopped doing what they were doing. It is certainly true that Microsoft appears to have told them that they didn't like them doing that. But it's not clear to me that Intel is going to sit, down and, kiss Microsoft's feet and do whatever Microsoft asks it to do. My guess is they did it out of their own self-interest, but I don't know for sure.
Well, if you read the 207 pages of the judge findings, there's a lot of people deferring to Microsoft out of their own self-interest.
You make a statement that there was no harm to consumers, basically, but it seems to me that the consumer was harmed
in being deprived of the opportunity to choose between Netscape and the Microsoft browser. I mean, they just didn't have the chance to make that choice. I was intrigued by you saying that Microsoft was a better product. I'm agnostic on that, but clearly the consumer never had the choice if Microsoft proposed it. And the other question is, my other question is that I was intrigued by shortly after the findings of fact were published, the Wall Street Journal published some responses of people who thought of opinions of what the remedy should be. And one of them was the chief executive of Novell, who said that what you said was that they should, Microsoft should have a uniform posted price for Windows. But the other was that they should provide equal access to the application's interface. And I was wondering why you didn't add that into your suggestions.
Well, for one thing, Microsoft says that they do give everybody equal access to the APIs, as they're called. Yeah, that there's public information what the APIs are, and there's a debate about whether that's true or not.
I understand that it was delayed in the case of IBM.
The new version of Windows coming out apparently was delayed because they hadn't reached an agreement about what price they were going to charge and whether they were going to give it to them or not. And they did give it to IBM. I don't know exactly how much of a delay there was or how much of a problem. They usually give out pre-release versions, and I'd have to go into that. But your earlier question.
I mean, Mr. Lenard's comment.
Yeah, he.
On the punishment of.
He may know more about that. The first thing that you said was what I wanted to respond to most. Could you remind me what that was? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that in fact isn't the case. Microsoft told OEMs, the computer manufacturers, that they could not remove Internet Explorer, but they didn't say that they could not put Netscape on there. So if they wanted, they could have put both browsers on there. And another little historical fact was that they included Internet Explorer with the early versions of Internet Explorer with Windows as well, and no one used Internet Explorer in those days. It was only when Internet Explorer reached parity in the product reviews that people started using it, and then later on, because one of the things we do in the book is we take a look at product reviews and see how they relate to market acceptance, both in markets where Microsoft's competing and where Microsoft's not, and what we find is that when the product reviews say a product is better, its market share starts going up very quickly, and that's what happened in this market. Now, Tom's interpretation is it's because Netscape wasn't allowed to get their product out there. Our interpretation would be, well, at that point, Internet Explorer was getting better reviews, and it followed all the other markets we looked at, which meant its market share went up a lot.
Well, I think there's so much evidence in the record that Microsoft felt that they, you know, notwithstanding the fact that they did a lot to improve Internet Explorer, that they just couldn't do what they wanted to do on the merits. Okay, they weren't going to accomplish their goals on the merits, and they had to shut down these avenues of supply if they were going to, you know, accomplish their goals. I guess what I'm surprised about is I'm surprised why Stan endorses these kind of little conduct remedies like opening up the APIs and non-discriminatory pricing. If there's no problem, why do that? I mean, those are just one. And then if you're going to do that, why not do the other? I mean, the other conduct remedies that people talk about, because those are just two out of a list, you know, that you would get to if you were going to go the conduct remedy route. The attractiveness of the approach that I'm talking about is you don't have to worry about all those things. You don't have to police whether the APIs are being public, whether they're secret APIs, whether they're being released, to one party before they're being released to another party. You don't have to, decide whether this price discount to this manufacturer is justified and this one isn't. You just basically create three companies and let them go at it as hard as they want.
I'd like you to say something, Peter, about this topic.
Clear it all up.
All right. Does Judge Posner settle it? No. Does Microsoft get broken up? No. Do they get a consent decree? Yes. And it won't be as bad as a lot of people think. Thank you very much to our panel.